Tonight's topic is the topic of mukta, of items that we handle or don't handle over the course of Shabbos. Now, this is a massive topic, and we can obviously only cover a cursory measure, a survey at best, of the topic of mukta, but hopefully we'll get some parameters that we'll be able to apply in our own homes. Practical questions, thank God, we have wonderful, knowledgeable community rabbis. When it comes to a practical question, you can call them. But these are just some outlines and general ideas. So the beginning observation is that we need to remember that Shabbos is an amazing gift. Sometimes we take it for granted, but Shabbos is a gift that gives us an opportunity to take a break from the humdrum and the mundane every week monotony, especially those of us who are busy with whatever we're doing during the week. So Shabbos is an opportunity to take a step back and say, wow, you know, I need to take stock of what I'm doing and what I appreciate in my life, the important things. So it's time to contemplate, to focus on family and friends and spiritual matters. So Shabbos is an amazing gift, and we need to use the structure of mukta to be able to maintain that gift. Because the Rambam explains that if we didn't have the laws of mukta, so then potentially we could be moving all the various items that we have in our house and doing all the housework that we would do just during our downtime, and then Shabbos would be like any weekday. So one reason, the Rambam says, is so that we should maintain a sense of leman yanuach, so that we should rest, and we shouldn't be fiddling with all kinds of different things over the course of Shabbos. Another suggestion that the Rambam gives is that, well, if we're handling certain kinds of items, let's say hammers, so then we might come to build something on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, we refrain from any creative processes. It's not that we don't do work on Shabbos. You know, work is subjectively defined. Some people say that, I don't know, they enjoy building tables, you know, for recreation. But it's not a question of work on Shabbos, it's malacha in the context of creative activity. And that's what is modeled for us by the Mishkan. And we say one day a week we're not creating anything because the Almighty, the Master of the Universe, He does all the creating, we're just doing the being. We're not becoming, we're not creating anything. That's 6 days a week, the seventh day we rest. So we also are concerned that maybe if we're going to be handling hammers and other kinds of things like that, we may be building things on Shabbos. And then the last concern, the rabbi says that maybe in the old days, even today, in communities where they don't have an Eruv, if you're handling things in the house and you're constantly moving things around, you might come to carry it outside. So for these three reasons, the rabbis instituted a principle that we could call the restrictive use of utensils on Shabbos, or use of items. And we can identify three different levels. So for those who have the little outline here, there are three different categories of things which we'll find in our house over the course of Shabbos. And they have different parameters. So the first one are called what we call Shabbos utensils. That's a kli shemalachto leheter. Vessels that are used for permitted uses. For example, a chair. A chair is something that has utility. I could sit on it. It has the shape. I sit on it, and I could use it over the course of Shabbos. It's for a permitted purpose. So it's called a kli shemalachta leheter. A kli shemalachta leheter, I can use and move and handle as much as I like, as long as there has some function. I can't just fiddle with it for no reason, but I can move it, I can use it, I can sit on it. Very simple. So most of the things in my house, my chairs, my plates, my stender, my table, glasses, all these things, they're called a kli shemalachta leheter, a utility that has, a vessel that has utility on Shabbos is totally permitted. Very fine and good. That's the first category. But then there are two other categories, and this is where we get into the important categories. Number two are what we call non-Shabbos items, and number three are mukta items. The second category are utensils. They are bona fide vessels. But their primary use, not their exclusive use, but their primary use is for non-Shabbos activities. For example, a hammer. A hammer is used primarily for building. Now, it could be used for cracking nuts, but primarily it's used for building. Pencils. Pencils are primarily used for writing, but on occasion, if you need be, you could use it for, I don't know, propping up.
Putting your hair up.
Mine wouldn't stay, but somebody else's might. Pots. Pots that you keep in the kitchen cabinet. So usually your pots are used for cooking. But once in a while you might want to use them for storage. Putting something in the pot, you want to put it in the fridge and keep it. My oven.
is primarily a kli shemalachto le'isser, a vessel that's used for non-Shabbos activities. So this is a category of items that's not like kli shemalachto le'hetzer that you can use whatever you want. There is, the rabbi suggested, limited use of such vessels. My oven door, my dishwasher, for example. Generally, it's accepted, based on one of the Chuvos from Moshe Feinstein, that any electric vessels, let's say if you have at home, I don't know, an electric burner, you have toys that are electric, they're battery operated. You have an electric toothbrush, you have, all cut fans, any kitchen appliances, all these things, they're usually assumed to be kli shemalacha le'isser, because you do a malacha to turn them on, to whether it's a malacha of boneh or it's an isser derabanan, it's something, you're not allowed to use these items on Shabbos. These are called a kli shemalacha le'isser. They're not actually, we colloquially use the term muktzah. Muktzah means set aside. They're not actually muktzah. So they're called a kli shemalacha le'isser. We'll see that distinction is going to be important. The word muktzah, I think, sometimes is a little bit overused. Like my kids see somebody driving on Shabbos, they say they're doing muktzah. They're not doing muktzah, they're doing havara. They're doing a violation of the malacha of burning by igniting the fire in the engine. They're not doing muktzah. They might also be doing muktzah. My car is muktzah, for example. And therefore, the rabbi said, because these things are primarily used for non-Shabbos activities, I'm not allowed to move them. Not only am I not allowed to move them, I'm not allowed to even move a part of them. So, for example, my car, even though I'm not strong enough to lift my entire car up, that would be certainly moving a non-Shabbos item. I can't even open the door of my car, because the door of my car is a kli shemalachto le'isser. The same thing, my oven. The oven, I'm not going to lift the entire oven, but even just opening the door, moving one part of a non-Shabbos item is prohibited. However, the rabbi said, wait a second. There have to be some limitations to this prohibition, because these are not totally non-Shabbos items, they're just primarily non-Shabbos items. So the two key leniencies, and this is what comes up all the time, are what we call Litzorech Gufo and Litzorech Mekomo, for the use of the item or for the use of the space. So for example, let's say you have a dining room table and the kids were making art projects on Friday, and I forgot to take off the scissors. Now comes Friday night, I want to set the table. The scissors, what are the scissors? They're not a kli shemalachto le'hetzer. They're not primarily used for permitted purposes, because cutting something to size is a malacha. It's an issur d'oraisa on Shabbos. So they're primarily used for prohibited purposes. But it's a kli, it's a vessel. So it's a kli shemalachto le'isser, a vessel that's usually used for a non-Shabbos purpose. So what do I need to think about? Wait a second. Do I need the scissors for something productive themselves? No, I'm not using the scissors right now, but I need the table. I need to set the table. So I can go, I can pick up the scissors from the table and move it and put it away wherever I need to put it away. Once I have it in my hand, it's a kli shemalachto le'isser. This is a longer topic, but just basically, I can take it and put it away wherever I want. I usually keep the scissors in a drawer. I can pick up the scissors with my hands and put it in the drawer. Same thing, let's say I didn't bring, now ideally we should use kli shemalachto le'hetzer. Some of the classical poskim in the last 150 years say, but let's say I have a bag of chips, and for some reason I'm having trouble opening the chips for my kids, and I don't have a knife. Or if I open it with a knife, I want to be concerned not to rip the letters. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a pair of scissors and I'm going to snip off the top. Or if I have an ices, this time of year we have ices. So let's say you don't have a knife, so you can take a pair of scissors and cut off the top. Why? Because it's, even though it's a primarily used kli for iser, I can apply it for this permitted purpose called tzorech gufo. Okay? Any questions, comments, or observations? Because I think this is probably the most common things. I left my, you know, fill in the blank, my someone's toy, someone's electronic device is sitting on the dining room table or it's sitting on the kitchen. I need to clear the space because I need to put down something there. So then you can use the heter of Litzorach Gufo, Litzorach Mekomo to move it to a different place. Yeah.
And that trumps the idea you said at the beginning that it would lead to a malacha.
Exactly. Because you have a specific limited purpose as opposed to a mechama letzel. Let's say you just want to protect it. Let's say I come to the godsman's house and I'm known to walk off with the things from people's houses. Let's say I had that reputation. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, I have to hide all, you know, my Cuisinart. You might walk off with the Cuisinart. So the Cuisinart, let's say, is a kli shemalachto le'isser. It's primarily used for chopping. You can't move the Cuisinart just to protect it from somebody who's a kleptomaniac. You can only move it if you need the space on the counter or you want to use it for, I don't know, propping open the kitchen door, for example.
Wait. Yeah. Somebody left the electronic toy in the middle of the living room.
Yeah.
And it's just bothering you because someone could...
Because you want to be able to walk through it.
Right. But it's not like you actually need the table, but it's just sort of in a cumbersome place. You can still move it.
If you want to walk past there, you need that place for walking, then it would be permitted. Then it would be permitted. If you need that place, yeah.
Give an example of parts of most of things. So like an oven door, opening up an oven door, a dishwasher.
So there's a good example. Let me just cut you off right there. So let's say some people have the habit. I don't want to say who has this habit, but some people have the habit, instead of washing their dishes when they're supposed to hide them and stash them in the oven, and then nobody sees them until you turn on the oven Sunday night, and then the dishes are still there, and then it turns out that you didn't wash the dishes. So, can you open the oven door? Because the oven is a klisha malachta l'isur. The answer is yes, because I'm using the oven to stash my dishes. Okay.
Same with the dishwasher.
Yeah, the only thing is...
So it's not a matter of needing the space and the table clearing off the most of the thing. I can use most of the thing to... as a storage space.
Yes.
But then
also, I just have to be careful. The dishwasher, some people, when they open the dishwasher, the lights go on or
the...
Obviously,
you just make sure that whatever it is you're opening isn't...
going to cause some other halacha to happen. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Is it the same with moving, your Shabbos candles around your dining room table?
No, Shabbos candles are different. We're going to get to that in a little bit because Shabbos candles are not a utensil.
Okay, and then what if your child leaves an electronic toy... It's not really in your way, but you know that if they walk into the living room and they see their DS on the coffee table on Shabbos, they're going to pick it up and play with it.
So, I'm not sure that would be considered a Lotzorach Gufo or Lotzorach Makomo, because you're not using it for that purpose. You're not, unless you want the space on the coffee table. I'm not sure. There is another heter, which we didn't get to yet, of how to move a klisha malachta l'isur, which we'll get to in 1 second. Just want to take one more question, and we'll come back to the way. There are other ways you can get rid of it. Not, I don't think that this would really qualify. It's not that you need the space. You want to make sure that your kids don't play with it. Yeah.
So maybe this is a more general question, but can you talk a little bit about what you mean by kli, like a vessel? You said it has utility.
Exactly. A vessel means something that has a measure of utility. What's not a vessel? Let's say sticks, stones, a fire, junk, broken glass. All those are non, they don't have any utility. They're non-vessels. But a chair or most anything that we'll have in our house.
A fork, yes.
Forks. Yeah.
But most things that have a basically if it has a purpose.
Exactly. That's usually the way that it's assumed, if it has some utility. Okay, so the additional, there's one more heter on our, that's called the Kikar Utinok, which is, the Rosh points out, others have a suggestion that let's say you have a kli, it's a vessel, but it's malachto l'isur, you want to move it for some other reason. So you know what you could do? They say you could take a non-muktzah item, like a fruit, or in that case, a child, and put it on or next to the non-Shabbos item and then move it. So let's say I have my DS. So I could take a strawberry and put it on the top of the DS, take the whole thing, and move it. Okay? The origin of this heter has to do with the Talmudic principle about moving a bona fide muktzah item called a mace, a deceased person, and then they extended that to not other non-muktzah items, but to the utensils that are non-Shabbos utensils. So you have this DS, you want to move it out of the way, so I take a pretzel or something, I put it on top of the DS, then I carry it. So essentially I'm not identifying the DS per se, I'm carrying it together with my pretzel, then I can move it somewhere else. Okay, so those are the two main leniencies, Tzorach Gufo Makomo and Kikar Utinok. Yeah.
The same thing, like somebody left some change on the table and you want to set the table.
Oh, so it doesn't apply to change. Why not? Because change isn't a utensil. It doesn't have utility. It only has representative value. Really, dollar bills or even, let's say, driver's license. My driver's license isn't called a klisha malachta l'heter because it doesn't inherently serve any function. That's why, going to a hospital or something like that on Shabbos when you have to take an insurance card, you take it because it's a pikuach nefesh situation, something like that. But one of the things you think about is that that driver's license, or for ID purposes, let's say, God forbid, somebody needs to rush to the hospital, or their insurance card, that's the insurance card is really mukta. It's real mukta because it's not a utensil. It's not a vessel.
A telephone?
Telephone would be a klisha malachto l'isser because it has a function as a way to call somebody, but it's not... It's not it's not a non-Shabbos item. It's a non-Shabbos item. So it's a klisha malachta
l'iser. You're saying the driver's license and the insurance card would have a purpose if you're going to the hospital.
Yes, but it doesn't have... You wouldn't have the leniency. You wouldn't have the leniency of Litzora Gufo Makomo. That leniency only applies to vessels. But change, dollar bills, driver's license, credit cards, that it doesn't inherently have any utility. And therefore it's called a muktzah item. And that brings us to our next category. What is mukta? Mukta is something, the word means something which is set aside. Set aside, why is it set aside? Because when Shabbos starts, I know that I have absolutely no use for that. The rocks in my backyard, I have no purpose. I'm not in any way connecting my Shabbos experience with those rocks. They're just going to take away from my Shabbos experience. The twigs that fall in my yard, broken pieces of glass, those are real bona fide mukta. Yes, yeah, so that would be if, let's say, they actually set aside the rocks as toys, so then that would perhaps change their status, and this is a whole other halachic discussion, how to create a status of a utility on something that doesn't have one. Let's say you have a stick, you want to make it into a broom handle. So before Shabbos, there are different ways, depending on the type of stick, what it usually is used for, what you want to make it used for. Do you have to just think about it? Do you have to actually do something to it? So there are different permutations. That's way beyond. That's a nuanced discussion. But yes, it's possible to unmuktify something, if there's such a term. But you have to think about that. You have to do it before Shabbos. But just generally, if my kids are walking the street and they see a bush, so they're not just not allowed to rip something off the bush because that's a malacha of kotzer, but they're also not allowed to push the leaves because pushing the leaves, handling the leaves, is a violation of handling muktzah.
That's so hard for a little boy to do.
I know. I remind them a lot. When they get older, it gets easier. So what is an example of another muktzah item? So we mentioned dirt, sticks, broken glass, coins. All these kind of things are what we call muktzah machmas gufo, and they do not have the leniency that you can move them for the purpose of its place or its itself. Let's say I have change on the table, and I left my change there before Shabbos. So then, for the reason that we articulated before, I can't move the change with my hand and take it off. We'll come to ways to move it a little bit later, but I don't have the permission to take it, put it somewhere else. Okay? That's the reason why the Shabbos candles are an issue. It's a little more sophisticated issue because of the candles holding the lighter holding the flame, but the flame itself is muktzah mamish. The flame is muktzah, and that's why you can't move them. There are other reasons, but then... Oh, so now there you got into a new concept, which I wanted to wait till the end to see if we had any time for. It's called a busis, where you have one item serving another item. So in this case, the silver candlestick is holding the candle, which is holding the flame. So that whole building, so to speak, becomes muktzah, but that's a big, much bigger discussion. Maybe we'll get to that at the end. That's the reason why it comes up. The same thing if, let's say, I had money and I put the money in a wallet, so then the wallet would become the holder for the money, and the wallet would also pick up the status in certain circumstances as the money itself, and therefore if I found the wallet on my bed, I wouldn't be able to just pick it up because I want to go to sleep and move it somewhere else. That's one category of muktzah. Another category that's treated the same thing as real muktzah is what we call muktzah machmas chisaron kis. Muktzah machmas chisaron kis means that it is set aside because it has chisaron kis, a value that would be lost. So let's say I have a very expensive electronic device, not a $10 fan. Let's say I have an iPhone that costs, you know, several hundred dollars. So let's say I have an iPhone or an iPad. So you just don't let, even if you have kids who they have persisted enough times that you will let them use it, but you don't let them use it unsupervised, throwing it down the stairs like they do some of their other
toys, right? You're very concerned about that. You don't let them use it as a door stopper. You wouldn't let it just be used for any reason. So in a certain sense, now it's not just that its primary use is for a malacha. It's almost exclusively used for malacha, because you won't just use it. You know, if I need to crack open something, I'm not going to use my iPhone. I'd be out of my mind. So because of that, it's like totally reserved for non-Shabbos items. That is treated as mukta mamish, real bona fide mukta. It's the same thing as sticks and stones. I can't just pick it up and move it because I need the place. Another third example is something that's called mukta machmas bius.
So the sticks and stones, if that's on your table and you need the table,
you cannot move it. Correct. You cannot move it. You can't pick it up and move it. You can't put a pretzel on top of it and move it. You have to let it sit there until we come to our...
So if the person leaves their iPhone on the table on Friday,
you can't pick it up and move it.
And the vase with flowers.
So the vase with flowers, actually flowers are not mukta. Cut flowers are not mukta, therefore you're allowed to move it.
Why aren't they like rocks?
Because we assume that they have a decorative purpose. And therefore, the cut flowers, they're like an adornment. I don't know if I would call them a kli, but the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa points out that cut flowers in a vase with flowers, that whole entity is mutter l'taltel on Shabbos. What's that? Right, they're in water, but he says that's mutter to move them on Shabbos. Cut flowers. A plant is going to be mukta mamish because it's connected to the earth. Exactly.
It's not if it's staying on your table.
It's in a pot, though.
It's still able to grow. Once they've cut the flowers, they're
exactly. Now they're a decoration for your table, as opposed to a cut plant, which is, so to speak, a living thing. You would have to then, there's a big discussion about this. Let's say I have a rock collection. Can I designate my rock collection for... you know, something that should look nice. So that's a big discussion. Rav Ovadia Yosef has a chew about this, about at what point something becomes useful because it looks nice. You want it to have decorative purposes.
So flowering plant can't look nice.
Flowering plant would be mukta mamish.
Okay.
So...
you could arrange those cut flowers in different ways?
Yes. Yeah. Now, there might be an issue of putting them out or putting them back in the water. That's a separate problem, potentially. But let's say you have important documents like a ksuba. Ksuba is a very important document. Somebody who's married, the wife, the husband, he doesn't need to know where the ksuba is, but she has to know where the ksuba is. So let's say she has the ksuba for some reason, she keeps it around, or she was looking at it one day because she was wondering, you know, how much money is really in there. So she's not allowed to handle that on Shabbos because it's a document that has representative value, but it itself is mukta mamish. There's a big discussion about pictures on the wall. Well, since you keep them on the wall and you never handle them, maybe they should be like mukta mamish. Others say no, since the pictures themselves aren't mukta, they're not non-Shabbos items, they could be considered like more than flowers. They actually are a kli in a sense that they are, you know, something that of use for the house. So there's a big discussion. Let's say a picture falls off the wall. Is that called a mukta item or not? But all these things that are inherently mukta, they're not allowed to be used for tzorach gufo mekomo. I open the freezer. I find raw meat. That's mukta. Because it has no utility on Shabbos. Right?
Removing the raw meat to get to the sorbet
that's behind it. It's a no-go. You can't move the raw meat to get to the sorbet because...
Which category would that be then?
Mukta mamish. That would be A, mukta machmas gufo.
Okay.
Sorry, I went back a little bit. What's that? We're going to have to get around that.
Yeah. You can crawl in your foot when you...
So we're going to have to get to that in a little bit, yeah?
What if you open a freezer door and a frozen piece of meat falls out?
So we'll talk about that in a little bit. There is a way to get it back in there. We're gonna have to get it back in the freezer, hopefully, but it might take some dexterity. Let's just put it that way. C is mukta machmas mius, like disgusting items. Sometimes if you have this doesn't come up so often, but let's say you have old disposable plates that were used in the afternoon before Shabbos. Let's say now they're sitting around, so they're really disgusting. They would never be used again. So that would be muktzah. They're treated like muktzah mamish. So you have the first category, that's muktzah machmas gufo, real muktzah, like actual sticks and stones. And then you have things that are treated like muktzah, whether it's the documents because they're valuable, or the iPad and the iPhone, or things that are they're now like dirt because they're disgusting, like broken plates that are slimy, dirty diapers, also muktzah machmas. Okay? The last two categories, I want to talk about one and hold the other. Shivrei kalim, what got written backwards here, broken vessels. So if you have a broken vessel, let's say I have a plate that chipped and broke Friday night, it breaks on the table, so now that broken plate is muktzah. It's muktzah mamish because it has no utility. Okay? Unless it has some function. Let's say I have, I don't know, I'm trying to think, what I have that if it broke, I could still use it for something.
You use it to push something away, you know, kind of a muktzah item to push.
Would it be, you wouldn't necessarily use it for that, would you? Like if it broken.
Collect the garbage that you're going
to. Okay, maybe you'd use it to collect the garbage as like a dustpan type of thing. So then perhaps it wouldn't be muktzah. I'm not sure that most people would use a broken plate to collect the garbage. Oh, so we'll get to that. We'll get to safety in a second. But I'm just trying to categorize in my mind, like, when it comes up in my house, immediately when I'm asking myself in my head, what's the story with this thing? I'm going in my mind, okay, is it a kli shemalach to leheter? Then no problem. Is it a kli shemalach to leiser? Then I have my two main heterim, sorkufo makomo or kiko or tinok. And then I have third category, muktzah mamish. And then I have to think about, well, if it's muktzah mamish, then I can't move it for these other purposes. I got to figure out how I find that there's, you know, there's a dirty diaper sitting on my bed. Happens. So what do I do now? I would like to go to sleep. It's going to be very unpleasant otherwise. So what do I do? So there, the last case is the case of buses, which maybe we'll come back to at the end. It's the most complicated story of one item serving another item. So that we'll come back to at the end. But now let's talk about what exactly is the prohibition of handling muktzah, which is going to help us navigate some of these problems. Any questions until this point about the three categories of muktzah? Yeah.
So, how much does Onik Shabbat play into whether or not you end up being allowed to handle the muktzah things?
How much does Onik Shabbat? So, Onik Shabbat is not a leniency in terms of moving muktzah.
Okay. Going to stress a person out feeling eventful after that, or flies, or whatever.
Yeah. So we're going to get to that in the later part. We'll mention that's in section 4 on under allowances. Someone mentioned that before. It's the same heter as dirty diapers. Just to let you know already, it's the what we call the disgusting heter. It's called graf shel rei. If you have something that's absolutely offensive, so you can move that muktzah item even with your hands. So let's say we finish Shabbos lunch. Think about this for a second. Let's say somebody succeeds in cleaning the chicken bone off their chicken totally clean. You know, my grandfather, Olive Shalom, probably could do this. He would get every single morsel of food off this chicken bone, and all there is a single bone lying on the table. Or I finished peeling my pistachios. I shelled my pistachios, and I even chewed off and sucked off all the salt. Now they're just in a nice pile on the table. So maybe in Europe in the 17th century, maybe that wouldn't have been a big deal. In my house, that is considered offensive. So at the end of the meal, you're allowed to take all your junk off of the table and throw it in the garbage. Many poskim say, if you have someone come to your house, if you would be embarrassed for them to see that you know, your table had dirty plates on it, throwaway dishes that are full of leftover meal, so then that would be called graf shel rei. That would be disgusting. Same thing with a diaper. You don't have to worry about it. You pick it up with your hand and you take it to the garbage and you throw it out. So, yeah.
I would be embarrassed if someone came to my house and saw money on the table that we forgot to move Friday.
So
I'm just being honest.
Right. I agree. And I would probably be embarrassed if I had my cell phone there. The question just is, though, am I embarrassed because it's not Shabbos stick that it's sitting there? Or if they came in on a Tuesday and the money was sitting there, I would be embarrassed. That's the distinction. You know, if you came to my house, if I got up from the dinner table and I left three chicken bones on the table, I wouldn't be here tonight to give the shiur. I can tell you that. So, you know, that's it, even on a Tuesday, that would be offensive. It's objectively offensive, as opposed to, you know, if I have something on a Shabbos, you're right, it's not Shabbistic, but what can you do? So let's go back to section 3. We'll come back to the leniences. Yeah.
I'm still confused. You're talking about kli shemalachto le'isser. So a cell phone is a kli that has an isser. It's a malacha that's an isser. And then you're saying that letzarach gufo makomo, you can move it.
Yes.
So you're saying, but you can't move that, even though it's...
So that's because I would consider the cell phone in the category of muktzah machmas chisaron kiss, that it has extreme value that I wouldn't let my kids play with it, I wouldn't let it hang around the house. You're right. My fan, let's say I'm in camp. Some of us remember the good old days in camp. I don't know what camp is like today. When I went to camp, there was no air conditioning. We had electricity, but we didn't have air conditioning. So you know what we had? We had fans. So here's the thing. At night, let's say in camp it's, you know, 5,000 degrees during the day, and then at night it's about 10,000 below. So you know you're freezing at night and you're hot during the day. So you leave on your fan. So here's my fan. My fan is a classic kli shemalachto liyisr. So you're allowed to move it to tzorach gufo makomo. So at night, I can turn the fan away from my bed because I want the space where my bed is. I don't want the fan there. I don't want it blowing on my bed because I'm going to be cold. And then during the Shabbos afternoon, I come back to take a rest. So I can take the fan. I can turn it back to where I need it.
That's all okay.
That's all okay. It's because my fan costs $20 and my mom doesn't care if I break it. But if I have a $500 cell phone, so then, in some degree, it's a kli shemalachto le'isser, but it's more than that. It's a muktzah machmas chisaron kiss. It's a very expensive item.
So and because they have a $100 bill.
So that, well, the $100 bill is muktzah mamish anyway. It's absolutely muktzah because it's only representative value. It's not really
not
value.
Your car keys, then. I'm not letting my kids just play with my car keys. They're very valuable.
So then, but then could be, well, it could be that the car keys have the status of a muktzah machmas chisaron kiss then. You're right. Then you wouldn't be able to move them letzorach gufo makomo. Yeah, because they're very duchto miyachid la. Now, that there is actually a big machlokus about the exact parameters of... So some might say that, no, but I would tend to say that you're right. I wouldn't just leave my... I mean, I put it there because I don't imagine anybody here is going to walk away with them. But you don't just let your kids play with your keys without letting you watch them. I use that just as an example because in my house, that's a good barometer for... And but you can envision, is it something that you care about the usage or do you not care? You can just let it get thrown around. A $20 and jewelry, so because it's not a non-Shabbos item, it's not going to be muktzah. Like, I'm going to wear the jewelry on Shabbos, so therefore it's not, it's like, let's have a very expensive suit. My suit, it's very expensive. I don't let, you know, I don't leave it on the floor, but I wear it. It's a Shabbos item. Same thing with jewelry.
Okay, so the cell phone, you can or you can't?
So it depends. If you have a very expensive cell phone that you wouldn't want just to use, let's say you're holding the door open, would you care to leave your cell phone on the floor as a door stopper?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to do that.
I have an out-of-box.
So then, what's that?
I have an out-of-box case.
So then,
I could leave mine as a door stopper.
Okay. But so you then should treat that as real muktzah. So I come Friday night, I see my cell phone on the table. If it's an expensive cell phone, I treat it like muktzah mamish. I can't just pick it up and move it.
Okay.
But if it's a cheap cell phone, that's like a fan. I need it letzorach gufo makomo. I need it letzorach
gufo. It weighs more than the inexpensive item.
What's that?
Is that what you're saying?
That if it's not an expensive electric item, then you can use it, you can move it either for its own use. Let's say I want to open a can and I need to bang the bottom of it, so I take my cell phone and bang the bottom of the can because I have nothing else hanging around.
I'm still not understanding why the lack of value in the item allows you to... I'm still confused with what allows you to use it versus... I would think it would do the opposite, right?
Because when you have a very expensive item, you keep it in one place. You don't just let it hang around. It therefore, because I take, let's say this was an expensive cell phone, because I take the cell phone, and before I go to sleep, I put it in one place, and I don't just leave it lying around. I mean, I do leave it lying around, but theoretically, I shouldn't leave it lying around.
Does it have a deliberate action involved?
Because it's too valuable to just leave lying around, and therefore, it would never be used for anything else except its primary use.
Okay, but I get that, but then I don't know how that relates to the fan at camp.
So because it's not an expensive fan, it's treated like a klisha malachto le'iser, a vessel that is a non-Shabbos item. Well, we said that in Category 2, non-Shabbos items may be moved for the purpose of themselves, like the air from the fan, or the place where I want to sleep.
But then the truth is that fan is very valuable to you in camp.
Yeah, but
if your fan is the first week in camp, even if it's only $10,
okay,
you're going to be pretty miserable for the rest of the summer.
Another question is the fan.
Maybe. Okay, maybe one can make that argument to be careful about the fan, but I think you'll replace it. Yes. No, it's really objective. You know, one could make that argument, but
it's not a monetary value. It's a value.
Well, no, it is a monetary value. It has to do with how valuable this thing is that you wouldn't use it for something else. Now, it's not exclusively monetary in the sense that my driver's license, how much does my driver's license cost?
$25.
It costs $25, but it's a non-Shabbos item. It's mukta machmas gufo. It's not a kli. So, again, you have to think about it on two levels. Number one, is it a utensil? If it's not a utensil, it's mukta mamish. If it is a utensil, is it a Shabbos utensil, like my suit, my jewelry, then it's totally fine. If it's not a Shabbos utensil, like an electric utensil, I got to think. If it's not very expensive, so I use it for different things, so then I can move it letzorach gufo for its use, or letzorach makomo for the space. But if it's a very expensive thing that I only use for this specific purpose, then I can't.
So it's not a matter of expense, it's a matter of the usage.
Okay, so this is exactly where the machlokes becomes an achronim. What's the emphasis? Rav Shechter likes to say that it's kol malachto le'iser. By designating it for this exclusive purpose, it's all malachto le'iser. Others say, no, that's not really the emphasis. It's really duchta miyachelo, since you put it in a specific place. But that's really a nuance. The bottom line is it comes back to the same thing, that if it's very valuable, you have a specific designation for this item. Am I being clearer now?
Sort of.
Yes.
To sort of simplify it very quickly, when you work in Granite, is that this Kleish Malachto Le'isor is something that, in theory, should not have a purpose on Shabbat, but you could potentially use it on Shabbat. If you use a hammer to cut, you know, a hammer's primary purpose is for bonnet, but you're using it to crack open your nut, like a nut, that would be something that has mosa is something that would never ever, you would never think of using that item for any other purpose other than its intrinsic purpose. A license volley could be good to open up a lock. You know, most people don't, you know, you don't think about using that. A license is only used to show ID. Right?
So that is exactly how Rav Shechter assumes the Haggadah.
The fan is sort of like, the fan's purpose to be, okay, I don't know, to cool you down. The fan, I'm not 100%, you know,
because to turn it on, you have to do the malacha or iser of turning it on.
Right, and then its use is always the same. It's always cooling you off with the use of electricity.
Right. So, but let's say if I was in camp, I would also use the fan to prop up my book. I would also use, I don't really care about the fan that much that I designate it. It's so special. It's not that much money. It's $20. That's the difference. Okay? Let's move on. We could try to tackle this, review it again. The issue of handling muktzah is handling it. Where there's a misnomer. If I do this, let's say a bird is also, well, that's a big question. I don't want to get into pets. That's too complicated for Shabbos, for one share. Let's say my cell phone. So if I have my cell phone on the table and I do this, so that's not a violation of the Isra Mukta. It's not recommended because it's possible that when I do this, I might move it. But the Isra Mukta is litaltel, to handle. So the only time you violate Mukta is if you handle it with your hands. If I just touch something, it's not recommended. Like if I do this, you see, I just moved the whole thing. I didn't break it, but I moved it. So that's not recommended. So if I see somebody at the Shabbos table and they're touching a muktzah item, so there's technically not in violation of the Yisra muktzah. So for example, if I touch a car, that's not a violation of muktzah. However,
If I sat on the car would move. So that would be a violation of mukta by moving the car. So what that means is the following important leniency. Let's say I come home. Let's say we treat the keys as mukta mamish, if they're very valuable. I come home and I see that my keys are sitting on the table. So if you treat the keys as klisha malachdula iser, that have a high level of concern, so I can't just pick them up and move them. But what if I don't use my hands? What if I use my elbow? Heter gomer. Totally permitted. I didn't handle the mukta. So very often, I'll come back, I'll see I left my wallet on my bed. Very simple. I take my elbow, I take my foot, I kick it off, and that's all finished. I come back to the house, I'm walking up, and there's a stick blocking the thing. So I take the side of my foot, and I just push it out of the way. Because I'm not handling it with my hands. Yes? You can kick it as far as you want, because you're not handling it. What's that?
Like, you have some money on top of your table and you wish it off with your elbow or you blow it off with your breath and can you continue to move
that? You can do that as much as you want.
Okay.
So let's say... here's my, you know, my change that's on the table. I don't want it to be there when people come there. I take it off with my elbow, and then it falls on the floor. I just, you know, kick it with the side of my foot under the table, and nobody sees it. Yeah?
How do I get to my ice cream in the freezer?
So that's a good question, whether if you can kick a rock like a soccer ball, so that might be more of a direct... handling it as if that were the normal way, but the assumption is that it's probably permitted to kick the rocks. So the ice cream in the freezer is a problem. If, let's say, I have this meat that fell out of my freezer, so the meat is mukta mamish, but if I have good manual dexterity, I can take my elbow and push it back into the freezer, and that's not a problem. But I wouldn't be able to take it with my hands and put it back in the freezer.
But I can take my elbow and take it out.
What's that? Oh, so that brings me to the last point here. That's called by extension. That's called tiltul aruch. Let's say I have a non-mukta item on the table, and I'm going to take a cup. I'm not going to handle it directly. I'm just going to take a cup and move it. So is that permitted? So the answer is there. It depends. Why am I moving it? If I'm moving it for the purpose of the mukta item or the non-mukta purpose. Meaning, if the reason why I want to move this is because I really want the space on the table, it's just I don't have my regular leniency because, let's say, we're treating this as mukta mamish, so then the purpose of my moving it is for the table because I want the space on the table. So far, so good. But the reason why I'm moving the meat into my freezer is not because I want space on the floor, it's because I want that meat to stay frozen. So that would not be permitted to take a cup and use it to scoop the meat back into the freezer. So the way to get the meat back in the freezer would be to use your elbows or your knees or some other means of getting it back without using your hands.
And the same with moving it to the side to get what you want.
Exactly. So you see that the meat is blocking the thing, so you take your elbow, you move it over, and you can move the get the sorbet out of the back of the freezer. But you're right, you can't handle the raw meat or the raw fish or the raw potatoes in the fridge or in the freezer with your hands, because that's all mukta, because you can't use it on Shabbos.
Yeah,
it's mukta mamish.
Walk home from shul, and if they want to go and take their elbows and run it along the plants on the side of the side.
So me'ikra din, that would be mutter, exactly.
Wait, but isn't it only if you're doing it for a purpose? Like running your elbow across the bush or just kicking a stone down the street is not for a purpose. That's just for fun.
Right, but that would probably be considered not tiltul. It's not handling it. So it wouldn't be...
Because you're not using your... Like you're saying your kids can't walk and brush the bushes.
Right.
But if they brush it with their elbows, that's
then
okay?
It's probably okay.
When you're saying... So you also mentioned raw potato. What about like a box of uncooked pasta?
So it depends. I knew somebody who used to, when I was in yeshiva, used to eat raw pasta. But your kids eat raw pasta, then it's not mukta. But that's a good question. Whether raw pasta...
Let's say you don't eat the raw meat, but you know people...
That's a good shayla. So this comes up. So tartar... So raw eggs. Do people eat raw eggs?
Yeah.
Maybe. So then, okay, so now we're talking. This is a good nuanced question. There's a good question. Let's say it comes up, let's say, with animal food. You don't have a dog, but your neighbor has a dog. So then that's a good question. Let's say you have, elephant food. I don't have an elephant. Neither do my neighbors, but the Brookfield Zoo has an elephant. So these are good nuanced questions beyond the purview of this year, but these are important distinctions when you think about that. Yeah?
What about raw egg?
I don't know. I don't know. Do regular people eat raw eggs?
Yeah, bodybuilders.
Okay, then there you have it. That's not mukta.
Opera singers, you personally don't eat.
Even if you personally don't, but normally, let's say your neighbor, people in the neighborhood, generally people do eat it. Let's say you, even if there's something that you don't particularly like, but generally that's a food item. It's not called. Okay, good. Now let's go to section 4, allowances. Okay. There are several kulas in addition to how you handle items, but also the reasons why you would be handling them. Number one is danger. So we mentioned before, broken items are a violation of mukta if you handle them. So if I have a glass... So imagine you have a glass at the table and somebody breaks the glass. So now it's smashed into 1,000 pieces. So what do you do? So the answer is, you pick up the glass and you throw it away. Because there's a special iser, there's a special requirement of safety. The whole iser of mukta is an iser to rabbanon, a rabbinic prescription to begin with. And the rabbi said, if there's a potential danger, so then you're allowed to move the mukta, even with your hands. You could pick up the little pieces of glass.
But you couldn't shovel snow because someone might trip.
So you might be able, if you're concerned that somebody might trip, so you might be able to shovel the snow also. It could be that shoveling snow might be lenient, we might be lenient about that for other reasons. It's not so clear that snow is mukta. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it depends when it snowed. But if there's a concern of danger, you're allowed to move the mukta. So broken glass or, you know, a dangerous something. You know, you have little kids and there's something on the floor that you have to move because somebody might swallow it. So then even if it's mukta mamish, even if it's bona fide mukta, so then it's not a problem to move it. Okay, heter number 2, disgusting. That's what we mentioned before, the graf shel reh. If something is offensive, so you can move that also. You can move it directly. Now, you can move it to a place where it's not offensive, but for example, you could take the garbage out of the kitchen when the garbage gets so high up that, you know, it's peeking out at the top and it smells and it's awful, so you take the garbage, you take it out to the outside. However, it's not so clear that, let's say you have a 3-day yontif, so the 3rd day of yontif, let's say, is garbage day, so you have a lot of garbage in the can outside. Can you move the garbage can from the side of your house to the street? Not so clear that you can move the garbage can. Why? Because it doesn't bother you. It's not offensive. It's in the garbage can. That's where it belongs. It's outside.
It will be offensive when the next week comes and you have no place to put your garbage anymore.
Okay, so that's a good question. If it's so much, then I can hear what maybe we should, but I'm not sure that you would think so far down the road. Same thing would be, let's say it's 10 minutes before the end of Shabbos. 10 minutes before the end of Shabbos, and you have some kind of, you have a soiled diaper that's sitting in a, on the counter in the downstairs basement bathroom that nobody's going to see. So you close the door to the bathroom, but it's not disgusting. No one's going to go down there. It's no big deal. It's not like it's in your living room or it's on your Shabbos table. It's downstairs in the bathroom. No one's using that space. You just close the door. So you wouldn't use the heter of disgusting. The heter of disgusting is in an area that would be offensive to people. If it's someplace that's not going to be used, so then it's not a problem. Let's say you have a dead mouse. We had such things when we lived in a neighborhood in a borough in New York City. I don't want to denigrate any particular neighborhood, but we lived in this place. It was on the north side of a skinny island just off of, just not far from Queens. It's a very, very high up area. So we had, according to the sign in the building, they were called ratas and ratones. I'm not sure which ones we had, but I could tell you we had ratones for sure. I was succeeded in catching one of those things. So if you catch one of those such creatures, so it depends. Let's say if it's in the basement in the laundry room and no one's going down there and no one's going to see it, no one's going to bother it, don't talk about it because everybody's going to freak out. So you leave it there until after Shabbos. Obviously there's a problem, potential problem of catching it or killing it, etc. But
honestly, you can starve it.
What's that?
Is it dead?
Let's assume it's dead. It's dead. So a dead mouse is pretty disgusting. So if it's in the dining room, so then you better get it out of there before you have a problem on your hands.
So you can lift it with your hands?
You can take it right with your hands. I mean, I recommend gloves. But you could handle it. The heter, remember, the whole answer was to handle it. So therefore, the heter is that you're allowed to handle it. And the last one is covered abrios. And interesting.
A dead bug or a spider?
Also, same kind of thing. If it's disgusting, if it's, you know, if it's really bothersome. The same thing, let's say you have dirty dishes. So some people, they're very sensitive about that. In my house, I have a wife who's very mocked that the house has to be clean. So she doesn't usually go into my office. I can leave it the way I want. But the rest of the house, that's her territory. 97% of the house. So she wants to make sure that it's clean. So I can't just leave dirty dishes lying around or dirty plates lying around, dirty forks lying around after Shabbos lunch, because that's very offensive. She would find that terrible. So that's why everything has to get thrown out in the garbage, even though maybe for somebody else they don't find it terribly offensive. In our house, that's a no-go. The last one is Kavod Abrius. In the old days, they used to have, they didn't have toilet paper. They used to use stones and other things like that. So the Gemara has a special heter for Kavod Abrius, for a person's dignity, if there was no non-mukta item to be used, so then one could even use a mukta item in a circumstance of Kavod Abrius. It's kind of, today that's kind of rare, but in principle it teaches us something about how halacha balances the priorities, that on the one hand we have an issur d'rabbanan of mukta, on the other hand we have the requirement for Kavod Abrius, for maintaining people's personal dignity, and therefore that balance is kept in check for this one or two.
You run out of tissues in your bathroom.
So if you run out of tissues in your bathroom, so you don't have really a mukta problem, because the toilet paper is probably not mukta. You have a different problem, and that is machatech, cutting the toilet paper to So the point is to rip it in an unusual fashion, because ripping it in an abnormal fashion is only an issur d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic violation. So the same way we said you can move the mukta for the purpose of dignity, so here too. So let's say you take the back of your palms or your elbow and you could tear it, and you just don't intend, whether you tear it on the lines, you don't tear on the lines, the point is just don't intend to tear it to a specific size. You don't care. You just want to tear it so you can use it. You tear one thing, you tear the next thing, you tear the next thing. So that would be an example of an issur d'rabbanan that's mutter mipnei kavod abrius. Yeah?
Your garbage cans that are outside.
Yeah.
Why aren't they kli shemalachta v'hetter?
That's a great question. So it could be, so there is a lot of discussion about garbage cans themselves. Are they kli shemalachta v'hetter, or are they mukta machmas mius? Are they disgusting? Because over time they have a terrible odor, and they collect, they have like sediment in the bottom, and they have squirrels running in them. So some, I saw in the Sefer Orchel Shabbos, a beautiful Sefer Orchel Shabbos, he has a big discussion about this, whether garbage cans are really mukta or they're not mukta. The problem is just going to be, and this is where we'll come the last just 3-4 minutes, this comes to the issur of buses. Let's say I take something, and I designate it that it's going to serve a mukta item. Let's say I take garbage, sticks and stones, and I put it in a bag. So now, and I put that in a bag before Shabbos starts with nothing else. So now, not only are the sticks and the rocks mukta, the bag is now also mukta. Let's say I have candlesticks, and I put a wick in a little glass, and then a glass in the silver candlesticks, and the silver candlesticks on a tray. Well, then the glass becomes the holder for the wick, which beholds the holder for the flame. And then the lighter becomes the holder for the glass, and the tray becomes the holder for that. So that is the problem of a basis. So sometimes the garbage can could be a basis ledover mukta, that before Shabbos you already have garbage in there, so now perhaps the garbage can is a server, a holder for that, just like the candlesticks are a server for the candles. So now, what's that? The table could also potentially become a basis. The table could also potentially become a basis. But this is one of the most complicated areas of Hilchos Mukta. There are many mitigating factors that negate something becoming a basis. One of them is that it's got to be there when Shabbos starts, all the way through the beginning of Shabbos. Another one is that it has to be only holding the non-Shabbos item, only holding the Mukta Mamish. But let's say I have a table, and it has plates on it, and it has a leichter. So the plates, I need, those are non-mukta items. Those are heter. So now my table is considered a klisha malachto leheter ule iser. It's using both. It's used for holding both kinds. Let's say I have a night table, and I put my wallet in my night table. So my wallet is a basis for my driver's license and my wallet. But let's say I also keep a stack of yarmulkes in my drawer. So now there is a discussion in the poskim. Usually they have to be equal value. So obviously the money depends. The money in my wallet may be more than the kippahs in my drawer. However, when it comes to Shabbos, those kippahs are very important. The same way that the plates on my table are very important. So that also would counterbalance even the expense. Let's say my lechter is worth $5,000, but my plates, I can't have a Shabbos meal without plates. So therefore, my table wouldn't become a basis of davasa. But let's say I have a tray with my lechter on it. So you know what I do? When Shabbos starts, I have 2 salt shakers or a salt and pepper shaker, and I put it on there because I'm going to use my salt over the course of Shabbos. So now, even though the leichter itself per se is still a basis, it's a Shabbos holder, so to speak. It's a problem. But because I have my two salt shakers on there, then the tray is not a problem.
Okay,
so I just pick up the tray and move it off.
Her candlesticks are right here.
Yeah.
And she wants to get her benchers that are sitting right there. Can she do that?
So let's say all the candles were lit when Shabbos started. All the candles are out now. So if the candles are lit, you have a separate problem of moving it because you may come to extinguishing
it. Not moving it. But can she use this piece of furniture that also has her candlesticks on it?
Well, let's see. What else is on here? A lot of other things are on
here. Right, benchers and...
Benchers. So then the piece of furniture, if you wanted to, you could pick up the whole piece of furniture and move it.
I'm not even worried about moving it, but she can get stuff out of here and touch it and move.
Remember, touching it is okay, even putting stuff on top on there. Remember, as long as I'm not moving, handling the mukts item, it's okay.
It doesn't make the rest of this, but it does, I guess what I'm saying, it doesn't make the rest of this piece of furniture.
Even if the whole piece of furniture was a busis, was a server,
yeah.
I could still put something on top of it because I'm not handling the furniture.
Okay, so because I serve off of my countertop that also has my candlesticks on it. That's fine.
But you have a lot of other things on your countertop.
Correct.
So, and by the way, you're not moving the countertop. The whole problem is moving the countertop.
Okay.
Right? It's handling it. The whole issue, we go back to the same point, it's handling it. I can't handle my countertop, so the countertop never... it's never a mukta issue.
No, but yes. The drawers that are under the countertop.
Oh, so then it could become, if the whole item becomes mukta, but you usually keep other things on the countertop. Yeah.
I'm going out for Shabbos. I have a light at home, and there's whatever complicated machinations are going on. If I'm afraid to leave my candles out, I want to put them in the sink. And then in the morning, I wake up and I need to use the sink. Wash my hands.
So it depends. If the candles were in an aluminum tray, and in the aluminum tray you also put a challah or something else that you need, then you pick up the whole aluminum tray and you take it out. But sometimes you didn't do that, so we just leave. You know, let's say we have that sometimes. You use tea lights, and they won't get offended if you put water on them. You know? So you're right. That would be a good example where the empty tea light shells that's left there, they just have to sit there because it became a bus at the beginning of Shabbos. One of the other interesting rules about buses...
You couldn't light those in the bathroom and make the bracha outside.
That's a good Hadlokas Neiros question. That's in two sessions. It's a good question whether you should light Hadlokas Neiros in the bathroom. That's a good question. But one of the other things that comes up very often is that sometimes I left the cash on the table by accident, or I left it somewhere by accident. That doesn't create a busis. You can't say that this item is serving the cash if you didn't intentionally designate it as such. My wallet, it's not an accident that my money is in my wallet. I put my money, I wanted to keep it there. But let's say Friday afternoon, this never happens to anybody else here, but I'm in a rush. Let's say I'm in a rush. So I'm running around, so I take my wallet, I throw it down, I throw it in a drawer. But I didn't actually think that I'm throwing it in this drawer to make it, that it should stay in this drawer. I just threw it in the drawer because I was in a rush to jump in the shower. And then, oh my gosh, I forgot about it. And then comes Friday night, am I allowed to open and close the drawer? So A, let's say there's something else in that drawer. Let's say there are socks in there. Well, I need socks on Shabbos also. So then it's not a problem with buses off the bat. Then let's say there aren't any socks in there, but I threw it in there. I didn't have in mind that I wanted to designate, I wanted to sit there. No, I just threw it in there because I was rushing to get in the shower. That also doesn't make it into a buses. So that would also be a mitigating factor. There are many others, but already our time is up. So just to summarize, we spoke about the potential reasons for the din of mukta. So we said maybe you'll come to do a malacha with it. It's non-Shabbos. It's going to ruin l'man yanuach. Maybe we'll carry. We spoke about the three major categories: the mutar utensils, then the more serious klisha malachta l'isser, which have the limited heter of tzorach gufo makomo if needed. Obviously, if you don't need to use your hammer, you can use a nutcracker. So better use a nutcracker. And then the kikor utinok. And then we spoke about various concepts that are actually mukta, whether it's mukta for its own reason because it has no utility, or it's a high value item so you specialize a place for it, or it's because it's disgusting and it has no use, or it's because it's a broken kli, or it's a busis that becomes a service for a mukta item. Then we spoke about the fact that the whole iser is only handling, so therefore if you just move it with your elbow, you're totally fine. If you move it without using your hands, with your feet. Or if you use it with an extension, with something else, then it's mutar if it's only for the purpose of the heter item. And then we mentioned some of the allowances. There are more, but this is just literally on one foot, some of the laws of mukta. Any questions before we wrap up? Yes?
So if you're on your nightstand, your clock is facing the wrong way, can you move your clock so you can see it better?
Awesome. Question comes up all the time. So what would you say? Can you move the clock so you can see it better?
Yeah.
You certainly can move it with your elbow, but can you move it with your hand?
Yeah.
Absolutely, because it's a klisha malachto le'iser l'tzora gufo. You're moving an electronic, a device that is a klisha malachto le'iser, but you're moving it l'tzora gufo for its own purpose.
If it has a radio attached to it. Another.
Same thing, totally mutter. Again, in mutter, if it's l'tzora gufo, I need to be able to see the clock, just like I move the fan.
So that Shabbos lamp, I can also take the entire thing and move it so I get more light.
What if it has your iPhone plugged into it?
It's your Shabbos.
Your Shabbos?
No, your clock
is a dock.
Oh, so then you come into your bus's question. So here you have a dock for something that. So then that's a really fabulous question. Can a mukta machmas chisaron kis create a basis? That's a good question. That's a very complicated question. It'll depend on whether or not the extreme... So this is a big shaila. So there's a machlokes achron about this exact question. Does the added value, the fact that it's so expensive, essentially nullify its status as a vessel and make it the equivalent of dirt, or no? It doesn't nullify the status as a vessel. It's just a vessel that has restrictions on it. Not the same thing. It's past 9 o'clock at night. Yes, but the problem is that it could be that the clock became a busis when the night, when Friday night came around.
If it
blinks on, then it's for sure a problem because you violate the Rabbanan.
You can move with your elbow.
So you can always move with your other elbow, but if it's not an expensive phone, it's a regular cordless phone.
No,
it costs you $100, whatever, to replace it.
It's covering the alarm clock, the clock. Can you move it with your elbow?
You can move it without your elbow. You can pick it up with your hand and move it because you want Tzorach Makomo. You need to be able to see the clock. It's blocking.
No,
I'm just going to pass this around while finishing up, so we'll go a little faster. Yeah.
So cat litter is disgusting. So
yeah. Just pick it up. Yeah. Just clean it up.
You put mitts on to move that frozen meat that's on the ground, on the floor, and put it back in the oven.
No, because oven mitts, number one, it's really just your hand being covered. It's not something separate. Number two is that even if it was an extension, let's say I had I used a pair of tongs and I started pushing it, that is only permitted by extension. That was leniency number three. That is only permitted if the ultimate purpose is for a neutral permitted purpose. Let's say I want the space to be clear for a specific reason. But if the purpose is to save this item, and this item is a non-Shabbos item, then it's a problem.
What about the loss of money in the meat?
So,
But it's Romanian hot dogs.
So then,
those are already cooked.
If you can eat them raw, then you're not mukta.
Right.
If they're not...
If it's like your $100 brisket...
So,
yeah, but then it becomes a value like the iPhone.
Okay. Right. So we a hefsid maruba is not necessarily it's not a good leniency for the mukta.
What happens if by laying on the ground the frozen meat becomes disgusting?
So then you could move it.
Well, then you have to throw it out.
Right. Right. Okay, I want to thank everybody for coming.
Thank you.
If you have a chance, let's just where is this?